Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We are focusing on the volunteer state and our nation today with always an interesting person, people, making a positive change in our community. This time, special guests Ginger and James Stocky and their business manager son, Max Stocky. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts on socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. And welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with Ginger, James, and Max Stocky of YourAmericanFlagStore.com from Harriman, Tennessee. When big tech canceled Max's small family business, Your American Flag Store, it set off a chain of events that has backfired on PayPal, Shopify, Facebook, and the three men who run those companies, Dan Schulman, Tobias Luthe, and Mark Zuckerberg. Don't know it yet, and are probably not going to like Your American Family. Their first six episodes so much because three of those episodes, their company for the anti-American, freedom-hating bullies that they are, episodes 7 through 12, feature some of their favorite customers and the inspiring stories behind their flag. These are amazing stories revolving around God, family, and country. Hello, James and Max and Ginger. How are you today?
I'm good.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on with us. Max, how old are you now, buddy?
I am 11, and we started the company when I was six.
Six? Oh, so you've been going at it quite a while. They weren't able to stop you. Can you see this flag behind me?
Yes.
For the folks on Rumble? Okay.
My parents, I think they made that based on how it looks.
Absolutely. Full disclosure, this is a Max and Ginger special, so I want to thank you, Max, for making this show what it is today. You're my hero.
Well, you're welcome, I guess.
I appreciate it. You're a brave little man. How many times have you been on Newsmax and Fox combined?
I think on Newsmax.
Once on Newsmax. But about six or seven times on KUSI News. Before we moved to Tennessee, we were on San Diego's biggest news station, and that was where Max kind of got famous in San Diego.
Awesome. On okay.
They saw us in a booth one time, and they came back in the next day or maybe a week or so later. They asked, hey, will you bring Max down to do an interview with us? And then from then on, anytime they had an open spot, they didn't want Ginger and I to come. They just wanted Max to come.
Yeah, well, he's got those movie star looks, so I don't blame him at all. Who taught you to be so poised and not afraid on camera, Max?
Really, no one. I just kind of came with it.
Oh, you're a natural. Okay. Love that. Well, you're a real TV star. What made you want your mom and dad to quit their jobs and make flags full time?
Well, the reason why I wanted to have my parents combine their skills and create this company is because I saw that one of them was artistic and one of them was good at carpentry, and I liked the American flag and I was patriotic. And I once said to my dad while we were having a party pretty much that I wanted to start a flag business while his buddies were in there with him. And as he says, his buddies were like, that's a good idea. And we pretty much started it then, and yeah, it's been pretty good.
And at 6 years old, not a lot of kids. Well, do you think a lot of kids are as patriotic as you at 6 years old these days?
No, I wouldn't say so.
No. Okay. Well, a lot of young people love technology, right? Phones and their apps and video games and streaming shows and stuff. How do you feel about what the cool companies Facebook and PayPal did to you and your family?
I'm really mad about it, but like I want them to get bad karma going on but I'm kind of thankful that they did it because it only brought our family pretty much closer, I would say, because we had to work through it together.
That's a silver lining for sure. Do you avoid all of their apps and stuff because of it, or do you have to be on Instagram?
I don't have any social media apps at all. Like, my parents, they don't want me on them. And honestly, I don't really want to be on them either until, like, I'm of the age to be on them.
Okay, good. Well, you'll be
hopefully never.
Hopefully never. Maybe you'll be more socially adjusted than everybody else. What happened to you when they first canceled you? Were you mad at that?
At first, whenever I found out, yeah, I was mad. But whenever it first happened, I barely even knew what was going on because my parents, they kept it a secret.
Oh, okay.
We tried to keep it from them as long as we possibly could. We knew that it was going to probably be a long, rough road. So we tried to keep it as we tried for them not to see it. So we did our best to make sure they didn't know what was really going on until I think probably about 3 months into it, maybe 4 months into it. They had no idea what was going on until then.
Okay. All right. And by them being bullies, was it successful for them, Max, or did it help you more than help them?
Probably temporarily hurt us more because we couldn't advertise that about our company or that they canceled us to where we just were cut off from like social media to where we couldn't spread any information about our company or anything that's going on. So we eventually got on other social media platforms not ran by big tech, and we were able to get our advertising back on those. And I don't think any of them have gotten us banned or anything like that, but all big tech companies for sure did.
And did it spill over at all into the real world, like friends or family at school, anything like that, where you felt that they knew what was going on too? No, that's good.
No, not until I heard about it. I kind of like told some of my close buddies not to tell other people, but I told them like just the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good way to handle it, I suppose. Well, good for you. What's the best flag you've seen made at your house?
Probably one of the ones that I actually came up with the idea of, which is the wavy flag.
That was your idea. Wow, that is the premier, hard to believe it's even possible to make flag. So, wow, okay.
And I'm really just, it's really my favorite because number one, I came up with it and I really like the way it looks. And also my dad, he tried a bunch of methods to do it. Like he said that he got wood wet once and tried to use a metal beam to curve it. That didn't work, but then he just tried it with an angle grinder. He got it to work. And ever since then, I just have loved that flag because it honestly looks like a real flag if you ask me.
Yeah. Ginger, tell us how you make that one.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to do with that one.
Oh,
James,
okay.
As far as the overall look of all of our flags, I get my touch on it with any artwork that goes on it, and I paint all the stars. But on the wavy flags, the artistry of it is really in how it's carved, and you know that's the how natural or how unnatural it looks is all up to how he grinds it and how he sands it. I take a lot of time in making sure that the stripes are painted and clean and has good quality to the burning in the lines, and I kind of do a quality check, but not necessarily a, I don't have a.
And the stars, she has to paint the stars on the waves, which obviously it's a lot easier to paint something on a flat surface, but well, you can't do that on a wavy flag. So that took a little bit of adjusting, but I mean, that the wavy flag is probably the best collaboration that we have as far as both of our abilities, because Ginger likes to make light of that she just paints the stripes and stuff on that, but it's still wavy. It's like a moving target that you got to get straight lines on. So I did the first, I don't know what, dozen before you said, get out of the way. We can do this better than you. And she started painting I kind of saw it as a flag that I didn't have to. She was already so overwhelmed at that time that I was trying to figure out a way that we could make a flag that she didn't have, that wasn't so labor intensive for her. And she's a perfectionist. So I could carve the wood and I was allowed to keep that job, but the painting we just left to the pro, and she took over the painting in it. And I've just been carving ever since. So
And these aren't like IKEA laser cut,
No.
you know, 3D printed things. I mean, you are on your knees with a sander making those waves and then hand painting each one of them. They take a couple months to get, now they could get through, right? I mean, this is
Yeah,
art.
it's not, it's a slow, it's a much slower process than our normal flags. In our normal flags, I mean, there's about somewhere between 5 and 25 hours worth of labor on them, depending on the artwork. The flags we really, the very first flag we made took a day. We've made almost 5,000 of them now. So at this point, we can make, 25 of them in a day. But the artwork still is the artwork. The artwork is where really what sets us apart from everyone else is that every single star is done by hand, every bit of the artwork, every letter, everything is done by hand and brush. So it doesn't matter how quickly I can figure out how to make the flag, the artwork is still the artwork and it has to be done, the old-fashioned way. So,
Yeah. And did I see something where you just started taking your own trees down now to make original, almost like a whiskey barrel? Is that right?
yeah, I'm gonna see how that goes. We have a bunch of fallen trees, so I figured let's see if we can use the wood and make kind of a special edition flag where these are literally gonna be trees in the yard that eventually become a flag in your home. And that there, I mean, I'm not gonna have a whole lot of those, but I think that we might do, a batch of like 20, maybe 30 of them, see if we can squeeze that out of it.
A
We'll see
Harriman
how it
limited
goes.
edition. That's great. I
Yeah,
love that.
we'll see how it goes.
So back to your story, why do you think Facebook doesn't like the American flag? Or what was it that got this whole thing started?
I think it was a bundle of flags, really. I mean, the one that triggered them that got their attention was the Trump flag. That's what caused them to look at us. Before then, we were just kind of flying under the radar. They didn't know who we were. They didn't know what we were doing. But when we made the Trump flag, I guess several people were triggered and complained that it was an offensive product. So that's when Facebook probably took a deeper, and this is speculation, I don't know. Here's what I do know. Originally, we had one flag that was canceled. That was our President Trump flag. Within days of that, a couple of dozen other flags were then subsequently also canceled. So those included the Christian cross flag, our military tribute flags, the We the People flag, all of our Don't Tread on Me flags, all of our Second Amendment flags. So I mean, all the flags that are generally and I'm painting this statement with a very broad brush, that were generally considered to be conservative themed flags, all of those were canceled. Where I think Facebook kind of didn't think it through was that there's millions of Democrats that are Christians, and there's millions of veterans that are in the military that are Democrats. So when they saw and heard that those two flags were also canceled, that started getting even Democrats a little bit upset that, maybe this is going too far. When it was Trump, they didn't care. But when it became things that they hold close and dear to their hearts, like their religion and the military branch that they served in, that's when I think that we kind of crossed into where Democrats also are not happy with that, with us being canceled. There are not a whole lot of them, but the we have had some interactions with Democrats that, let me know right off the bat, I voted for Biden. Can't believe what they're doing to you. It's terrible. So
Yeah,
they're out.
it's just not like you advertised and said we won't do a Biden flag. You know,
No.
I've seen your flags that has the rainbow flags. I mean, you'll do artwork of flags that are made to order and they just,
Absolutely.
you know, Facebook's supposed to be an algorithm, right? So it's supposed to have these things that say, well, okay, if we're finding hate or Nazis or something, we'll flag it. But for them to go after you, it reminds me of the story where the FBI released the document or the memo, I guess, that said these are the things that make a Christian white nationalist a red flag. And there were things like you just listed, things that you would think like, wait, that's just American. So I never really understood it. And what justification did PayPal give you to hold your money? Are there terms of service, including business practice judgment now?
No, they never really they never gave us a real reason why. They basically,
even to this day,
Ginger, not to this day, Ginger was talking to a customer service guy. His name was Scotty. And then she started getting upset. So I took over the call. And in that part of the conversation, were you in on that or no? Yeah. So she, so this guy said that we were, that our business was shady and he didn't think we were going to be in business too much longer.
Well, they started off by thinking that when somebody takes in a good number of orders, that there's no way they can fulfill them in a timely manner. So they assume there's going to be chargebacks. So they hold all your money to prevent themselves from being screwed out of money with chargebacks. So they say that's the reasoning, but we had money in there from before we got a large number of orders. And it really was our working capital. So the fact that they were able to hold every penny we had made and were using as a bank account is they were going against their own reasoning behind having chargebacks. So we obviously we are going to get chargebacks when
they're holding our money,
facilitate the orders that we received the money for.
So do we think that maybe in discovery, and I guess I should ask if you're suing anybody, did Facebook call PayPal and PayPal call Shopify and the three of them all collude together to say, let's shut down this little company in Tennessee?
I don't believe so. I think that their algorithm, I think that we got caught up. Now, I think an important point is that this was right after January 6th, within days of it. So I think that these companies, and again, based on what happened to us, I'm just kind of trying to make sense of it. But I think that they created a new algorithm that was a little bit more harsh than the one before to pick up on more conservative chatter, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that we popped up on their radar. The actual reason that Facebook gave us was that, and this is in a YouTube video that's on our YouTube channel. It was that, Our product went against their community standards. That's the only, it's very, very vague. So you can't call them and you can't say, okay, well, what product is it? And what exactly is the community standard that we have, you know, violated? There's none of that type of interaction with Facebook. It's all just,
that's a lot different than PayPal though. I could see a nebulous case that Facebook is making saying, well, we can't explain it and therefore you can't challenge it. But with PayPal just saying, we're taking your money and we're not going to give it back to you because we say so, that's theft. And what did Shopify do?
Shopify deleted our best-selling products from our website.
So your website?
So they were our host. We built our website with Shopify originally. And I think it was about 2 years. We had it for about two and a half years, not a single problem. It worked great. And then after January 6th, all of a sudden people were getting messages saying, hey, don't you have any, don't tread on me flags. Don't you have any Second Amendment flags? Don't you have, and we're like, yeah, we do. We go to our website and they're not there anymore. They deleted them. So they just didn't like those particular flags. So they deleted them.
Wow. Ginger, I think your flag store is doing better now than it ever would have if they let you alone. Do you agree that cancel culture was actually good for you too?
Absolutely. It made all the difference for us to have to strengthen every step of what we do. We had to change our credit card processing. We had to change our communication with our customers. We had to change our shipping in some ways. So everything we did made us stronger, even though it wasn't something we planned on doing. But using companies like Shopify makes it really easy and convenient in the beginning, but they control how you do your business. So it, for small, simple little businesses that are selling online, it makes sense to have them do the work for you. But when you get a little larger and you want to take it further, learning how to do all these secondary companies like our credit card processing, working with them, they're a small business and they're helping us and we can collaborate and make everything stronger and work better. And I think it's made all the difference for how we know what to look for if we ever need another service or how to communicate.
Yeah, we got real good at like moving laterally. Very, very good at moving laterally.
Plan B, plan C. All right. Okay.
Yep.
Are you suing anyone?
It's still kind of up in the air. My understanding is that if we sue, a non-disclosure is going to be absolutely part of the lawsuit. And considering that we have a documentary that's coming out, and it'd be very hard to tell our story without telling our story.
Yeah, so, out loud for sure. Yeah. Yeah. What, tell us about the documentary.
So, it's basically just going to be, what you mentioned in your opening monologue, where we're going to highlight more or less the worst days and the best days, how we came through it, how it brought Ginger and I closer to God, how it brought our family a little bit closer together, how it strengthened our business, how we've met a lot of incredible people all over the country that, I mean, we had one person didn't even want to buy a flag. They just sent us a check when they found out that they were, I mean, when you go after and cancel a company, especially a company that is selling a patriotic product, there's patriots all over the country that are just, they are not going to let it happen. So when that particular customer sent us, we sent them a flag. We weren't going to do it, you know, just take the money and say thank you. But that just shows you that how American patriots are. When they find out that their flag is being canceled, they're just not going to let it happen.
That's right. And Newsmax took up your story, and Fox, I guess, did too, for that exact reason. Otherwise, it would have just been two businesses fighting somewhere in the middle of Tennessee. Nobody really would have paid attention, but you were able to, they took up the wrong fight. What legal strategy did Harmeet Dhillon use to win for you?
I think just hard negotiation. They came in and would not talk to Ginger or I at all. After that initial few conversations, they were like, okay, so we're going to reevaluate this in 6 months. That's it. That's our answer. Live with it. And then we were like, okay, who else can we talk to? Because our customers need their flags within 6 months. And if you're holding all the money, how can we possibly make the flags if you have the money? And they said, well, you know, you should have thought of that. And that's why you guys have a bad business model. Because we didn't have a secret bank account in case someone ever stole our money, I guess.
They actually said that, why didn't you have funds to be able to make these orders before you took the orders? But they're all custom, and we don't know what we're making until people order them.
And you didn't hire them to be your business consultant or your bookkeeper. You hired them to basically take your money and deliver your money. I guess the secret here is you take your money into a different bank every time you have a transaction. Don't let them sit on a pile of your money. They'll take it.
Yep. A big part of our business model from day one was that we saw other companies making American flags, and there were a lot of really nice ones. What we did was different. Every single flag can be customized. We never have a flag that's just sitting on a shelf somewhere that goes to a customer. Every single flag has a customer's name on it from the moment it is started. So that, I mean, right from the get-go, from day one, our motto or our slogan was "From our hearts for your home." So we kept that and wouldn't change it. I mean, it'd be very easy for us, Steve, if we just started making a ton of flags, stuck them on a shelf somewhere. When the orders come in, we pull it off and we just ship it off and tell people, yes, we made this just for you. That's not what we do. What we do is when a customer, or like we had, a dozen or so orders today. Those flags will now have a name on them when we start cutting the wood to make them. There isn't a flag on a shelf that we just send off to them. Every single person gets a handcrafted, custom-made flag just for their family. That's what makes us different. So I guess PayPal didn't grasp the uniqueness of that, or the value in it, or they didn't appreciate it, or we just got stuck with a very overzealous customer service person that just shut us up and hoped that we would go away. But we got lucky, and Newsmax did pick up the story, and they gave us some, you know, national attention. That actually, the way that Harmeet actually got involved was that Ginger's cousin, he's a lawyer, and he did an internship for a colleague of Harmeet Dhillon. So we called him and asked, or Mason, her cousin, called him and said, hey, could you listen to these guys' story? I think that there's a pretty good case for Harmeet. He listened to the story, called Harmeet about it. I got a phone call from Harmeet the next day. And wow. She said, okay, her first thing that she said is that we needed to stop fighting with PayPal and Facebook, that she was going to fight them. We just need to get back to making flags, and that's what she was going to do. So the first day negotiating with them, she got them to release, I think, $10,000 to us. But that didn't even cover the shipping costs. It didn't cover just the wood. It didn't even cover half the materials to make the flags that we had on order. So any business person knows that if you're doing a higher volume, you buy in a larger quantity, which means you get a better deal and you can save money, and it improves your profit margin. So what PayPal effectively did by keeping us from being able to do anything in bulk was made us do 350 flags as if they were
10 at a time.
Like 10 at a time, which is not an effective way to do it. I mean, it's so inefficient. I mean, we had 5 different deliveries of wood. It's about $400 every time you get it delivered. It doesn't matter if it's one board or 1,000 boards. It's $500. So when we're having to, you know, have 5 of those, that's $2,500 that we, or $2,000 that we should have been able to save and could have gone for, you know, food on the table or advertising somewhere else. But it was very clear that their whole goal from day one was the capital starve us. They thought that if they held on to enough money long enough, we wouldn't be able to hold on and we would go out of business. And we almost did a couple of different times during that time. In fact, there was one time at the very, very end when PayPal was holding just $10,000 of our money. And that was pretty much what we needed to just ship everything out. We had like 200 and something flags sitting here in boxes ready to go out. And we just needed the shipping money. And PayPal would not give it to us unless we signed a non-disclosure agreement. We refused to sign the non-disclosure agreement. We were trying to keep it private. Ginger's parents found out, and her dad just got pissed. And he said, how much is the shipping? We said, it's about $10,000. I'm sending you a check. Get those things out. And they came to our aid. During that whole ordeal, her parents basically said, they're not going to win. When you need a little bit of money, call us. We'll give it to you, and we'll help you out. So, man, Steve, I can't tell you how many people. We had another customer who saw that PayPal was holding the money. He called us and said, introduced who he was, told us where he saw us, and that he was also a business owner, and he knew exactly what it was like to need capital and not have it. So he said, what's your most expensive flag? And I told him it's a $10,000 hand-carved ultra XL wavy flag, which is the size, it's 4x8x8 inches thick, weighs like 500 pounds. At that point, we never even sold one. It was a concept. I just put it out there thinking nobody will ever buy this. And this guy called up and said, yeah, give me that one. That's the one I want. And he mailed us a check. So obviously in our documentary, we're going to be going, he lives up in New Hampshire. We're going to go visit him and kind of get his story so he can kind of tell us, and we can meet him face to face, and we're going to deliver the flag to him face to face.
That's very cool. And you know, you're going to outlast PayPal CEO Dan Schulman, who will retire and leave the company at the end of 2023. Maybe the new person will be more reasonable, pro-business, pro-patriot. Would you entertain that or no more PayPal?
I would love to have a conversation with any of them. I think that dialogue is good no matter what situation you're in. Talking is good. So I put it out there on social media that I would love to talk to any of those social media guys. I don't know if they'll ever do it. But in fact, I've been told by Harmeet that there's no way they would do it because it would just be bad for them. But I still have the view. I'm a terrible optimistic. I think that they have an opportunity with us to say, sit down with us and say, okay, so what happened? How did our business affect you? And how can we keep that from happening again? And if we had that dialogue, and I think that if they saw what it did to our family, I think that they would come across the aisle. We'd all put politics down and we could all figure out a way that this could be rectified. I I have to keep on believing that because I have hope.
That's nice. And so you've never heard from any of them, nothing in writing, no Christmas card saying
we have not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what a lawyer does.
Even when Facebook took down our advertising, it was one thing for them to take down. They have a way that you can have your products actually listed as though it's through Facebook, and they want you to do it that way. So they took the products down. But then when they shut off our advertising, they didn't tell us that they did that. We realized it because no sales were coming in, even though we had paid for advertising.
Like a shadow ban.
Yeah, it was all of a sudden, this isn't working. And when we called to figure out why nothing was coming through and we weren't seeing any activity, that's when somebody that was on customer service, I don't even know where, I don't remember what it was, but they said, oh, well, it's you're connecting the source code or whatever is gone. It's just missing. Like they took it out and just hushed and saying things to it.
Deleted your code, yeah. I want to read this real quick. In 2018, he set out to be America's premier custom rustic American flag builder. I got this from your website. Well over 100 patriotically themed flags on your website and specialize in making customers' own vision of a custom flag a reality. 100% handcrafted with optional 100% flawlessly hand-painted artwork. Don't use stencils or spray paint. Just 100% made in USA, handcrafted quality workmanship. 5 years later, do you feel you've done it? Premier custom builder.
You think so?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, Max is on. I think Ginger and I still have a lot of ideas that we'd like to make. We have some equipment that we haven't even been able to implement yet with a laser. We got a CNC, but I'm not good with technology. So I'm old fashioned with, you know, how we built the business, but there's a few pieces of technology that we want to get and implement into some of our designs. For example, I'd like to put just a piece of taking one of our flags and putting a piece of glass over it and then etching the glass with the stars and words over the red stripes. I think that we could add all kinds of new features. Maybe just the same flag that we've always sold and then put a piece of glass over and etch an eagle into it. I think there's a lot of new things that we could come up with that, I mean, the goal on top of what you mentioned, the goal really was for us to build a business that would have enough different types of trades in it that our kids could grow up, take over one day. And it wouldn't matter if they wanted to be a carpenter, if they wanted to be a CEO, if they wanted to be an artist, if they wanted to be a 3D modeler, whatever it is that they wanted to do, there'd be a place in this business where they could thrive. So I think that when we get there, I think that's when Ginger and I can sit back and just look at what we created and be happy and call ourselves truly the premier flag builder of the country.
That's great. Not only innovative, but leaving a legacy for Max and his sister, right? You have a sister.
Yeah, Evelyn and our nephew, Dean.
Evelyn and Dean. Since last time you were here, and for those that don't know, I have a lot of new listeners. This is your second appearance. Thank you for coming back on. This time, the whole family.
Thank you.
I see you've moved past just flags made of wood, which are awesome. Everyone should buy one. But other wood products and apparel, too. Whose idea was that?
That was mine. Yeah, I'm never happy. I'm always trying to push stuff. But
are you the designer of the apparel and the other items?
I wouldn't call it a designer. I just kind of put words on shirts.
Yeah.
I just take Bible verses and just put them on there. I think later on, we might come up with some cool designs for shirts. That's probably a year off. Right now, we're just kind of, I think we're going to stick to the Christian themed and religiously themed shirts and see where it goes. Hopefully it goes somewhere. Lately, we've been seeing some traction with it. I think the more that I wear them in videos and that kind of stuff, and people see them, they're becoming more aware that they're available. So again, I'm optimistic. I think that there's a big Christian movement kind of moving across the country right now. And I think that timing is always very important in anything. And we've had these shirts on there for a while. We actually did it 3 years ago. We tried it and we just got absolutely nothing. I mean, not a single shirt was sold. So we just shelved it for a little while. About 3 months ago, I kind of saw an opportunity to put these out there and put my toe in that water again and see what happened. And this time we're getting some traction. So if there's attraction and there's demand, we will expand on it.
Very cool. Okay.
I think that now, some of it has to do with what he wants to wear. What do I want to project into the world? I'm going to put that on a shirt, and if somebody else wants it, they can get it.
All right, Giorgio Armani of Tennessee.
Yeah, actually, I had Costco today, and a guy came up to me and said, "Hey, I'm gonna." He's a preacher locally, and he said, "Hey, that's a sermon I was gonna be doing this weekend." So that, I mean, you know, the shirts are great conversation start. We have a new one coming out. It says "Fist Bump for Jesus," so that you can just walk up, and if somebody wants to say something, they just give you a fist bump, and you just keep on moving on. You're not saying anything, but you know, you're understanding.
So, Max, if Mark Zuckerberg ever called you and apologized for your troubles that they put you through, would you get on Facebook and Instagram and say it's all good?
After how you want to, not how I want you to.
Me personally, he has not called me, but based on what my dad said, he has called him. No,
he hasn't called me.
He's asking what you would do if he
if he did call you. Would you say, "Oh, I like Facebook now," or would you never forgive him?
He's like, okay. Mad as heck with him.
What if he called and was really nice and gave you a genuine apology
and shares in the company?
That would be a little bit more. I would possibly reconsider him.
He's stubborn like me.
And so what's your relationship with Public Square? Since Facebook, Shopify, and PayPal weren't there for you, how did the relationship evolve with Public Square?
They, we have a long relationship, actually. So they actually reached out to me when they saw me posting on LinkedIn that we had been canceled. Christina, who we've been in contact before, said, "Hey, James, now's the time for you to make the move over to the parallel economy. You'll never be, you know, we'll never cancel you. We're never going to tell you what to say. We'll support you." And I was just kind of like, "Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I've had 100 of these calls, but you know, they're platforms, and I'm not trying to be mean, but they're platforms with no, they're not up yet. And people are talking about what's going to happen." Public Square was, soundly on top of that little market that they carved out, where they just unite all of the like-minded Americans that want to, you know, vote with their money every single day. So when they reached out to me, they gave me some free advertising for the first few months and helped us get it back on our feet and get some orders in. And ever since then, our relationship has just grown. I've gotten to talk with their CEO. We have a good relationship with Sebastian Harris. We actually made him a flag last month. So they're everyone over there is basically family to us. I could call Christina right now. She'll take my call. If I can bounce an idea, marketing idea off her, I do that often. For our documentary, I've asked them if they'd be willing to help and just share a crowdfunding link. And they're just like, "Absolutely. Whatever you need, just give us a call. We're here for you." They are, I think that they're probably going to go down as the company that was right out in front. They saw, I think Michael and Christina, there's a group of, I think, five of them that founded it. And I think that all of them saw this coming a couple years before it happened. They just saw it. And they got to work long before anybody had even heard the word cancel culture. The words cancel culture, they were providing a solution to solve it.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm glad they were there for you. There's a bill before the Tennessee Assembly today, right now. The proposed legislation would fine platforms for shadow banning users based on their political ideology, sound familiar, viewpoint or personal animus, or for discrimination based on race, creed, color, religion, sex, age, or national origin. Are you backing that? I think you are. And have any lawmakers taken up your case and helped you through this violation of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution?
Yeah, we, of course we back it. And our local representative, Monty Fritz, he comes to the shop often to get updates on our story, to find out if there's anything that he needs to know that, you know, as a legislator, he can help us with. Monty Fritz is the real deal. That guy is, he's not a politician. He's just a gentleman, and he's a Christian gentleman, and he does good work. He didn't need to go into politics. He just saw a need, and he did. So He's fighting for us now too. I mean, we've got some really awesome people fighting for us with Harmeet and Monty, all the guys over at Newsmax. I mean, we've been so blessed to have these people come to our aid and believe in what we're doing and support us. Monty is right there at the top. He's in a way, he's kind of the tip of the spear, to be honest with you. So yeah, we're going to support that bill. There's also another one for PayPal too, that he's written and has Senator Yeager as a sponsor. And that would make it illegal for banking institutions to hold your money without giving you 90 days notice. As long as you haven't broken, if you've broken the law, of course, everything is the same. But if you have not broken any laws, they cannot hold your money like they did us and just say, yeah, we'll let you know when we make up our mind to change it. So they would give you 90 days to take your money out and move it to another bank. If that would have been given to us, if we would have had 5 days notice, nothing would have ever happened. We would have gone down, we would have taken our money from PayPal, put it over in a new bank, business as usual, everything would have been just fine. But they held the money for 11 months.
Yeah, so, that's outrageous. Do they owe you damages?
To us, yeah.
In our opinion, yes.
Yeah, there was I'm going to be reading a letter that I wrote to the legislators in Tennessee probably next week. I'll be up in your neck of the woods, actually, at the state house to read a letter that I wrote that focuses more on what it did to the damage. Yes, there was monetary damage. Yes, we had financially our credit, all of those things were damaged for sure. But the damage that it did to our marriage, the damage that it did to our business, our reputation, to our kids' carefree way of life as a child, not really. I mean, there were times when we had absolutely no money. So food in our shelves was, I mean, the kids were kind of like, hey, mommy, when are you going to go to the grocery store? So imagine telling your kids as soon as I can. But we know that there was no money to do it. And I'm calling lawyers. Hey, we have $100,000 in the bank, but we're not allowed to touch a cent of it. Our kids are hungry. We got bills to pay. Our electricity is going to be shut off. And, you know, you have a big, massive company just ignoring you. So what they did was the damage that they did was it's kind of like I don't even care about the financial damage. That's the least of my issue with PayPal. The issue that I really have is that it's not even what they did to our family. There's thousands, if not tens of thousands of family that they put the same thing through. We were lucky enough to pull through it.
That's right.
What about all those families that actually went out of business? How many families ended up in a divorce because of the financial stresses that PayPal put on? And, you know,
I only have time for one more question. I really want to get it out there.
Okay.
The whole reason I had you guys on here is because I feel that pain. I think it's awful what they did to you. And I want to be able to shout it from the rooftop so everyone can hear. The big guys are not your friends. The little guys like you are. Max, when you grow up, do you want to take over for your mom and dad so they can retire? Or do you want to do something else one day?
I kind of want to do this, but I also want to add on to it. Like, with me, I'm interested in a lot of things like blacksmithing. And
like what?
I want to add things that
metal.
Yeah, metal things. Like metal flags, maybe.
All right, get out of the woodwork and into the Bronze Age. I got it. I love it.
Yeah. He can hardly swing a hammer, but he's read like 3 blacksmithing books. He's ready. He has a forge. He's got a hammer set. He's ready.
Perfect. I love it. Well, Big Man Max, Mama, and Big Daddy James, thank you for your time. We appreciate you. We are at the end here. Please tell our listeners where they can go and find out more about you, follow you maybe on social, anything you want to tell us.
From every source, we're at youramericanflagstore.com. That's also our Your American Flag Store on LinkedIn, Instagram. We're still on Facebook, but we don't follow any of their advertising.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks again for coming on with us and best of luck.
Thank
you very much.
How you ever did. Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what'd you think of our guests, Max and the Stokey family of YourAmericanFlagStore.com?
Oh, it was wonderful to have a family show. This is the first time ever, Steve, of having a whole family in their office. And it was fun. And Max is quite the fired up young man. And he's become quite the famous young entrepreneur. And thanks for bringing them all on and getting the full story. What a $100,000 they've been held on to. I mean, Steve,
yeah,
we live in weird times. And is anybody in the, I'm glad to hear that Tennessee's going after this to some extent, but is anybody on a federal level even touched what these guys are doing? I think they're all in cahoots with each other.
Well, Producer Steve, we've got some real problems in this country, mostly coming out of the swamp in D.C. For example, check this out. Attorney General Merrick Garland appeared before a Senate committee on Wednesday, where he faced a colorful array of questions on everything from the federal investigation into Hunter Biden to the sale of deadly drugs, Taylor Swift tickets, and FBI investigations. In a speech that in August in Kentucky, McConnell would say, "One of my proudest moments was when I looked Barack Obama in the eye and I said, 'Mr. President, you will not fill the Supreme Court vacancy.'" McConnell was not alone. The 11 Republican members of the Senate Judiciary Committee signed a letter saying they had no intention of consenting to any nominee from Obama. No proceedings of any kind were held on Garland's appointment. Democrats were outraged, of course, but alas, Garland was confirmed as AG in a 70-30 vote, as he was nearing his 24th anniversary as a federal appellate judge. Quote, "When confirmed, Judge Garland must not back other constitutionally corrosive efforts to effectively repeal laws just by ignoring them," said Mitch McConnell. Okay, remember that for this next part. Garland fought back tears as he explained why leading the Justice Department was important to him. Quote, "I come from a family where my grandparents fled anti-Semitism and persecution," said Garland. "The country took us in and protected us. I feel an obligation to the country to pay back." Oh, really? Payback is a what, Steve?
Yeah, right.
Right. Play clip number one.
"And the Department of Justice under this president was perfectly happy to refuse to enforce the law. Violence. And as you know, those threats finally materialized with Nicholas Roski, a 26-year-old man from California who traveled across the country, was arrested outside the home of Justice Kavanaugh, armed with a handgun, a knife, and burglary tools. And he said he came there to kill Justice Kavanaugh because he was enraged by the leaked opinion. Now, of course, you're prosecuting that individual for attempted murder. But did you bring even a single case to enforce this law, or did the Department of Justice decide this law doesn't apply if it's harassing justices for an opinion we don't like?"
"When the Dobbs draft was leaked, I did something no attorney general in the history of the department had ever done before. For the first time in history, I ordered United States Marshals 24/7 to defend every residence of every justice."
Well, Garland, as a judge, you're familiar with asking counsel to answer a question.
I am answering.
Has the Department of Justice enforced this statute? Have you brought a single case against any of these protesters threatening the justices under 18 U.S.C. Section 1507? Have you brought even one?
"Senator, you asked me whether I sat on my hands, and quite the opposite. I sent 70 United States Marshals.
Let me try again. Has the Department of Justice brought even a single case under this statute?" It's a yes, no question. It's not a give a speech on the other things you did.
"The job of the United States Marshals is to defend the lives of the
justices." So the answer is no.
"It's to defend the lives of the justices, and that's their number one priority. They have..."
Why are you unwilling to say no? The answer is no. You know it's no. I know it's no. Everyone in this hearing room knows it's no. You're not willing to answer a question. Have you brought a case under this statute? Yes or no?
"As far as I know, we haven't. And what we have done is defended the lives of the justices with over 70 U.S. Marshals."
How do you decide which criminal statutes the DOJ enforces and which one it doesn't?
"The United States Marshals know that they have full authority."
I recognize you want to give a separate speech.
No, I don't want to give a...
is, it, Can you ever get a straight answer from these guys? No.
No. And remember, 70-30, Mitch McConnell said, must not back other constitutionally corrosive efforts to effectively repeal laws just by ignoring them. Okay, well, he just did there, including the lives and protecting of other justices, which he may have been, but never got a chance to be. Good. In one exchange during Garland's hearing, Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri asked the Attorney General whether the department had informants in Catholic churches. Clip number two, please.
Attorney General Garland, let me just ask you, does your department have a problem with anti-Catholic bias?
Our department protects all religions and all ideologies. It does not have any bias against any religion of any kind.
Well, you could have surprised me, because given the resources that you are expending and the apparently intelligence assets that you are deploying against Catholics, it appears, and other people of faith, while simultaneously turning a blind eye while people are executed gang style in the streets of our cities, including in my home state, your answer frankly surprises me. Let's talk about the Mark Haupt case, for example. You've been asked about this already today, and frankly, your answers really astound me. This is a case where a Catholic pro-life demonstrator, father, was accused of disorderly conduct in front of an abortion center. The local prosecutor, the Philadelphia district attorney, who is a Democrat, a liberal, very progressive, declined to prosecute. There was a private suit that got dismissed. And then after all of that, your Justice Department sent between 20 and 30 armed agents in the early morning hours to the Houck's private residence to arrest this guy after he had offered to turn himself in voluntarily. Here's the photo. Once again, you can see the long guns. You can see the ballistic shields. You can see that they're wearing bulletproof vests. Why did the Justice Department do this? Why did you send 20 to 30 SWAT-style agents and a SWAT-style team to this guy's house when everybody else had declined to prosecute and he'd offered to turn himself in?
Determinations of how to make arrests under arrest warrants are made based by the tactical operators in the district. They are not.
But you surely looked into it by this point, right? You know the answer, surely.
All I know is what the FBI has said, which is that they made decisions on the ground as to what was safest and easiest.
He goes on to say, how Josh Hawley does, you used an unbelievable show of force with guns that I just note liberals usually decry. You're happy to deploy them against Catholics and innocent children. I remember what I quoted earlier. I came from a family where my grandparents fled anti-Semitism and persecution. The country took us in and protected us. I feel an obligation to the country to pay back. What kind of payback is he talking about? I want more of that, actually. Let's play clip number three from Josh Hawley.
Notice a pattern, though. The FBI field office in Richmond on the 23rd of January of this year issued a memorandum in which they advocated for, and I quote, the exploration of new avenues for tripwire and source development against traditionalist Catholics, it's their language, including those who favor the Latin Mass. Attorney General, are you cultivating sources and spies in Latin Mass parishes and other Catholic parishes around the country?
No, the Justice Department does not do that. It does not do investigations based on religion. I saw the document you have.
What did you do about it?
It's appalling. It's appalling. I'm in complete agreement with you. I understand that the FBI has withdrawn it, and it's now looking into how this could ever have happened.
How did it happen?
That's what they're looking into. But I'm totally in agreement with you. That document is appalling.
I'll tell you how it happened. This memorandum, which is supposed to be intelligent, cites extensively the Southern Poverty Law Center, which goes on to identify all of these different Catholics as being part of hate groups. Is this how the FBI, under your direction and leadership, is this how they do their intelligence work? They look at left-wing advocacy groups to target Catholics? Is this what's going on? I mean, clearly it is. How is this happening?
The FBI is not targeting Catholics, and as I've said, this is an an inappropriate memorandum, and it doesn't reflect the methods that the FBI is supposed to be using. It should not be relying on any single organization without doing its own work.
Let me just ask you, as my time expires here, a very direct question. How many informants do you have in Catholic churches across America?
I don't know, and I don't believe we have any informants aimed at Catholic churches. We have a rule against investigations based on First Amendment activity, and Catholic churches are obviously First Amendment activity.
Well,
but I don't know the specific answer to your question.
You don't know the specifics of anything, it seems, but apparently on your watch, this Justice Department is targeting Catholics, targeting people of faith, specifically for their faith views.
Right? Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, about the absence of charges after demonstrators protested for weeks in front of the justices' residences in the wake of the leaked opinion to overturn Roe versus Wade opinion under a law that prohibits picketing or parading in front of a federal judge's home. Clip four, please.
Individuals for blocking access to or vandalizing abortion clinics. And there have been over 81 reported attacks on pregnancy centers, 130 attacks on Catholic churches since the leak of the Dobbs decision, and only two individuals have been charged. So how do you explain this disparity by reference to anything other than politicization of what's happening there?
The FACE Act applies equally to efforts to damage, blockade, clinics, whether pregnant resource, whether they are a pregnancy resource center or whether they are an abortion center. It applies equally in both cases, and we apply the law equally. I will say you are quite right. There are many more prosecutions with respect to the blocking of the abortion centers, but that is generally because they are those actions are taken in, with photography at the time. During the daylight, and seeing the person who did it is quite easy. Those who are attacking the pregnancy resources centers, which is a horrid thing to do, are doing this at night in the dark. We have put full resources on this. We have rewards out for this. The Justice Department and the FBI have made outreach to Catholic and other organizations to ask for their help in identifying the people who are doing this. We will prosecute every case against a pregnancy resource center that we can make. These people who are doing this are clever and are doing it in secret. And I am convinced that the FBI is trying to find them.
Did you catch that? He said they can't do it because they do it in the dark. And the other folks that they busted were in broad daylight and could be easily distinguished.
Oh, you mean kind of like what happened on January 6th? They've got hundreds of pictures in broad daylight, don't they?
And that was supposedly a much easier case to make than the pregnancy centers that happen at night because they're clever. All right, moving on. So that was just a few highlights from the Senate. But wait, there's more. The Congress had a shot at Merrick, too. House Republicans investigating what they believe are political abuses inside the Justice Department. Clip number five.
Future might have started in a lab, might have happened in nature. But here's the question I keep coming up with. If it may have been a lab, may have been nature, we're supposed to look forward, then why did Dr. Fauci work so hard for just one of those theories? Why was it so important to push one over the other? Dr. Barrett said, we should entertain all hypotheses. Dr. Fauci had his hypothesis, how this started. We should entertain all of them. But that's not what happened. That is definitely not what happened. 3 years ago, if you thought it came from a lab, if you raised that, you were called a nut job. You got censored on Twitter. You were blacklisted on Twitter. You were even called a crackpot by the very scientist who in late January sent emails to Dr. Fauci and said it came from a lab. They called you crackpot. Is that right, Dr. Redfield?
I think the most upsetting thing to me,
Steve,
was
you know what?
The,
you can pause that
Baltimore.
That's my bad. I sent you the wrong one. Right, Congressman Jim Jordan, wrong clip. What he said was that I wanted to make the point of was we are not in any way trying to interfere with parents making complaints about the education of their children, Garland said. Oh, really? Interesting. Let's hear from a mom that loves her kids, just a regular mom in front of Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Clip number 6.
Is Nicole Solis, and I am a mother from Rhode Island who was sued by the teachers union simply because I wanted to know what my kindergartner would be learning in school. And here's how this happened. I asked to see the curriculum, and my school told me I had to submit a public records request. The curriculum wasn't posted online, and it wasn't available in a school district. Then I asked them if they were teaching gender theory, and they told me that they don't call children boys and girls, and they embed the values of gender identity into every classroom, including kindergarten, and they didn't want to answer any of my questions further. They told me that they would communicate with me only through public records requests, and that is the only way I could get my questions answered. And when I did submit the public records request that they told me to submit, and I submitted hundreds because I had hundreds of questions, my school board then put my name on the agenda of a public school board meeting and held a public school board meeting to discuss suing me for submitting the request that they told me to submit. In a 5-hour-long school board meeting, they openly debated my moral character, my political motivations. They said that I was causing chaos, wreaking havoc, harming the district, harming children. One school board member even said she felt unsafe and started to cry because, as you see, I'm really scary standing here right now. And they really just tarred and feathered me for asking questions. And they had never met me before. And this was the first school board meeting that I had ever been to in my life. They wanted to send a message to other parents that if you ask questions, they will come after you. Well, at the end of this meeting, they decided that they wouldn't sue me for asking questions because they never intended on actually suing me. They just wanted to publicly humiliate me in a school board meeting that was a show trial. And when that happened, then the teachers union, the largest teachers union in the country, the NEA, did file a lawsuit against me to bully me and harass me with frivolous litigation and to send a message to other parents that if you ask questions about public education, they will come after you.
You know, it kind of reminds me of what happened with Jesus. It was a show trial, and you guess what happened to those people who did that. So all these people are so evil, Steve.
Yeah, she's just a mom that loves her kids, the full faith of the government came after her. The Justice Department is facing a wave of backlash as parents criticize its recent decision to investigate potential acts of violence against school boards across the country. It came after the National School Boards Association asked the Biden administration for assistance, suggesting that the threat and acts of violence were similar to domestic terrorism. Merrick directed the FBI, working with each United States attorney, to convene meetings with federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial leaders in each federal judicial district within 30 days of the issuance of the memorandum. These meetings will facilitate the discussion of strategies for addressing threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff, and will open dedicated lines of communications for threat reporting, assessments, and response. The clip that we didn't hear, I just want to remind everybody, he said, we are not in any way, there's a whole bunch of ways, trying to interfere, that's interference, with parents, just heard from one, making complaints, just heard her complaints, about the education of their children, just a mom that loves her kids. Right, so there you go. Department of Injustice, run by a guy, angry at Catholics and parents and Republicans. Nice. Any comments, Stephen?
You can see this is a full court press to transform our society, and the guys and the gals behind it are not letting up. And we have to do all we can and pray that we have, legislators will grow a couple and go after these people.
Right.
You don't want a few, you want a couple.
Next Sorry up, moving on. Quote, my goal here is transparency, and we will slowly roll out to every individual news agency, Kevin McCarthy said. They can come see the tapes as well. The first thing I found is the January 6th committee was not honest with us. Oh, that's a shocker. That's it. Not 14,000 hours of tape. There's 41,000 hours of tape. Maybe a little typo there, a little dyslexia. Let everyone see them to bring their own judgment. McCarthy then swerved to saying more of the protesters during the 2020 George Floyd demonstrations should have faced criminal charges. I think we should have equal justice across this country, and we should have transparency, he said. Let's play his clip.
Slowly roll out to every individual news agency. They can come see the tapes as well. The first thing I found is the January 6th committee was not honest with us, that it's not 14,000 hours of tapes, there's 41,000 hours of tapes. Let everyone see them to bring their own judgment. The one thing I understand in America, we should have equal justice. What really raises the point with me is, why did I watch federal courts? Why did I watch cities burn, federal agencies or something, and nobody arrested there? I think we should have equal justice across this country, and we should have transparency. And it's really concerning to me, since we've taken the majority, the things I have learned that government has done, that it withheld information from the American people. That will not happen on our watch. Regardless of what information says or doesn't say, I think transparency is best, and allow the American public to see it all. And we need to have equal justice across this nation.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, we're watching them walk and being escorted by police within the Capitol, which was quite stunning. Speaker McCarthy.
Yeah, there we go.
So that's the end of that. The Congress these days, what they're up to, what they're interested in. How about the administration? Do they care about January 6th prisoners, or DOJ making Catholic parents public enemy number one, or withholding evidence? Let's hear from Energy Secretary with oil prices back up. Clip number 8.
Do you care about climate change? Do you care about the future for you, for your children? Do you want to know how we can solve it? Through cool technology? I've got a very snappy Prezi that I'm going to
be doing. Prezi.
How can anybody turn that down? So come to my speech.
Oh, that's a little promo for her speech.
And they're busy. And with a community bank crisis unfolding in real time, what's the Treasury Secretary have to say? Let's hear the last clip, number 9.
Chairman talked a bit about this. There's been confusion about the meaning of the directive that you cited in the letter last August and then repeated here today. So are you talking about the total number of audits, or are you talking about the proportion of audits on families and small businesses under $400,000?
I'm talking about the proportion of those small businesses and families.
Okay, so the proportion, I mean, just for the record, the proportion is 90%. So 90% of the new audits will be, you know, according to the data, that we can expect up to 90% of new audits to be on those making less than $400,000.
Jeez, easy target. But in the meantime, Steve, and I know you got your say here, but she just handed over $1.2 billion to Ukraine again.
I know. And what's this headline say? Janet Yellen complains about nonstop migraine. Treasury Secretary examined by doctors following massive headache attacking lasting days. It's pretty much incapacitated her, said an unnamed source at Treasury. Others had to step up and fill the void. I sure am glad the adults are back in the room. Stay tuned for my quote of the day. Welcome to my quotes for the day. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Rumble or Spotify or iTunes and hit the subscribe button and follow us. While you're there, go ahead and leave a comment. I'll read it on air. And thanks for doing it. As the playwright George Bernard Shaw once put it, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. Giants are not what we think they are. The same qualities that appear to give them strength are often the sources of great weakness. You can't concentrate on doing anything if you are thinking, what's going to happen if it doesn't go right? Last one. Gifted children and child prodigies seem most likely to emerge in highly supportive family conditions. In contrast, geniuses have a perverse tendency of growing up in more adverse conditions. Malcolm Gladwell, David and Goliath, Underdog, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants. In his number one best-selling books, The Tipping Point, Blink, and Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell has explored the ways we understand and change our world, Now he looks at the complex and surprising ways the weak can defeat the strong, the small can match up against the giant, and how our goals, often culturally determined, can make a huge difference in our ultimate sense of success. Like your AmericanFlagStore.com. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you like it. Thank you, Max and James and Ginger, for honoring our flag and being that David versus Big Tech Goliath we all need fighting for, we the people. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, owner and operator and editor-in-chief of mcview.us. Peace in our time.
County Fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like rolling thunder.
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.